there is a rhythm established, particularly in Matthew and Mark, where we have this meeting. An amazing thing is they skipped it here. That is, Jesus predicts his passion for the first time, that we had yesterday, if you remember. No, we didn't have it because we had the Feast of the Transfiguration. The rhythm of the first prediction of the Passion goes like this. Who do people say that I am? And Peter, illumined by the Holy Spirit, makes a confession of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You share the identity of God. An enormous illumination, enormous grace was given to him. And then, from that time on, now that this faith is growing strong in Peter, it's always been the reason why he was Pope. He wasn't brighter than the others. He certainly wasn't more self-contained. He did betray. But he had this gift of faith. Huh? Remember how at the Last Supper, according to Luke, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And so, because Satan has desired to sift you, all of you, like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not, and that having been strengthened, you strengthen your brothers. That's the Pope. That's Peter. You see. Now, the Gospels are so beautiful and honest. So, Peter makes his confession. There is the promise to him that I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now he starts to tell them. He starts to predict, this is what's going to happen. And I'll be raised on the third day. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. It's a strong word. Began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord. No such thing shall ever happen to you. Shows you the fragility, huh? He just had this incredible illumination, but it didn't carry over to suffering. He didn't get that far. So he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." This is the man who just made this profession, one of his friends. "You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." And that's the way we think. Any humiliation, any pain, any, oh no. That's terrible. That can't be from God. And so, then in this rhythm that's been established, our Lord begins to discuss, what do we have to do in order to understand that? And to understand it in a way that will bring us into union with Christ, our Lord. And this is the way it goes in Matthew. You just heard it. "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Well, do you want to come after him or not? We're celebrating today this feast of Sistus, the Pope, and some of the bishops who were just decapitated and left there in the catacombs and to be buried. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and Mark is, and for the gospel, we'll find it. Then our Lord begins with reflections that you might call wisdom reflections, but they're in the context of following Jesus in his passion. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world or forfeit it and forfeit his life? What good would it do? Suppose you were, let's fill his name, Bill Gates or something like that. And after all this, a couple of years on earth, you've lost your eternity. Is it really worth it? What kind of a bargain is that? You see? Or what can you give in exchange for your life? Fellow's dying of cancer in the hospital. Very wealthy man. He says, "Doctor, I'll give you all the money I've got. Just get me over this cancer." That man's life is in God's hands, not the doctor's, right? In other words, our Lord is teaching us the importance of confessing him more than anything else. Be faithful to him, you see. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for him, you're going to keep it for all eternity. Not a bad bargain. And it's interesting that we have that text today when we have the story of these martyrs. It goes that far. And so, it's a gift. Now, chances are we won't be shot today. So, what are we going to do? Where am I going to let go of my ego, my comfort? Where am I going to do something to get out of the self-dominated, comfort-dominated life? And give my life to Christ. Am I going to preach to somebody today? Take a chance? In the grocery store? At work? Am I going to tell somebody about Christ? And what am I going to do today? So that I lose my life for the sake of Christ. Tiny little way. But that's how we practice. And you see how intimately it's linked to confessing you are the Christ. If he really is God made man among us, teaching us, dying for us, giving us eternal life, then he should be worth our attention, our love, and it's surely worth obeying him and telling people who he is.